Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're looking at what it means when the Scriptures talk about the Lord as the rock of our salvation. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 2, as we go back to basics.
After the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea, they journeyed 3 days into the wilderness, searching for water as they went. When they finally found water, it was bitter and undrinkable. So they began to murmur against Moses. And the Lord showed Moses a tree and instructed him to cast the tree into the water, and the waters were purified. They journeyed a little farther and began to murmur against Moses because they were hungry. God responded to their complaints by sending them the manna, by sending them bread from heaven. They once again took up their journey and came to a place called Rephidim. And there at Rephidim, they found no water, and so again they began to murmur, and that's where we pick up the story here in verse 2. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand the rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So they came to that first place, and the waters were bitter. And so the Lord healed the waters through the casting into the tree. As they cried out because they were hungry, the Lord provided for them bread from heaven. And now once again, they're in a situation with no water. And God instructs Moses, "Take your rod and strike the rock, and the people will be refreshed." Now, many centuries later, the Apostle Paul, looking back on this particular incident in Israel's history, said, "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Paul stated that in the first epistle to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. We'd like to look together at 3 ways that the rock is symbolic of Christ. Many, many passages throughout the Bible speak of God in these terms, using this symbolism of God being our rock. And in thinking of the Lord in those terms as our rock, this is symbolic of Christ's nature. The rock symbolizes his nature. the strength and the permanency that we have in Christ. But again, many passages, too many to quote here this morning, but many passages refer to the Lord as our rock. Let me give you a few examples. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. Ascribe greatness to our God, Moses said. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. In 2 Samuel 22, 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 18, verse 46, the Lord lives, said David. Blessed be my rock. And then Psalm 28, verse 1, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Psalm 61, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then the 62nd Psalm, the one that we read together a moment ago. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then finally, Psalm 94, verse 22. The Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my salvation. As I said, that's just a small sampling, really. There are many other passages that use this imagery to speak to us of the strength and the permanency, the protection, and all those things that would come to us through this symbolism of our God or Christ being our rock. Now, when you think of the Lord being our rock, please don't think of a rock that you could pick up and throw, or don't think of even maybe a large rock that you've seen in maybe someone's backyard or in a park or somewhere, but think of something more like El Capitan in Yosemite. 3,000 feet of solid granite. The largest monolith of granite in the whole world. When we're talking about the Lord being our rock, that's what we need to think of. We need to think of something like that, or something like the Rock of Gibraltar. We're talking about something that you can build upon, and it's unshakable, it's immovable, it's impregnable. It's the place where there's going to be absolute security. That's what this imagery is all about. Of course, Israel is a land of hills and rocks. And so the rocks would be a place of protection at times for the people. The rocks would be a place of shelter for the people. And so those are all of the ideas that are being expressed in Christ being our rock. And it's true that only Christ can bring total stability and permanence to life. The Bible says there's a time coming when God is going to shake heaven and earth, and the only thing that will remain are the things that cannot be shaken. And the only things that really are going to remain are those things that are rooted and grounded in the person of Christ. As the great hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Nothing outside of Christ is stable or permanent. Nothing. He alone, as the psalmist said, he alone is my rock. Think of the things that we tend to at times consider stable or permanent, or we look at certain things as our basis for security. But then, of course, we find out that they're not as secure as we thought. Think of our jobs. We talk about job security. We think that under certain circumstances, we have absolute job security. We've been there for years. We've done a great job, or, you know, maybe we're tenured or something like that. And so, well, you know, I've got absolute security. And then you find that the economy goes down the drain and the jobs go with it. And so that thing that we thought was stable and permanent proves to not be so. Even friends that love you and care about you and are committed to you and have promised that, you know, don't worry, I'll be there for you. But then something happens, maybe not even intentionally, but they're not able to provide you with that stability. They're not able to be there to help you in time of need. Even our homes. We put a lot of stock in our home being that place of our security. Maybe that's the place where we've made our greatest investment, and maybe we're confident that, you know, if all else fails, I've still got my home. But then a fire comes along, or an earthquake comes along, or something like that. Or if all else fails, I've still got the equity in my home. But then again, we have problems financially, and all of that disappears. Or our health. We depend on our health, and we think that, well, I've been healthy all my life, therefore I can just continue to have confidence that I will always be healthy, and then suddenly our health fails us. Or our family members, people who dearly love us and would do anything they could to help us, to secure us, to stabilize us, but there's a certain point where they can't do it. You see, the point is simply this, that nothing outside of Christ is stable or permanent, but the great news is that Christ is our rock. And it's on Christ, the solid rock, that we can stand. So even if our job is lost, even if our friends fail us, even if our home is destroyed, even if our health fails, even if our family is incapable of doing all that they would love to do and we need them to do, Christ is still there. He's permanent. And he brings that stability. And so as we think of the Lord as the rock of our salvation, that's what God is wanting us to get a hold of. It's a place of security. It's a place of protection. It's a place of shelter. Christ as our rock. But notice in the story an interesting thing about this rock. The rock is to be smitten. Isn't that a strange thing? God says to Moses, of course, Lord, the people are dying of thirst. They're about to stone me. What am I going to do? God says, take your rod and I want you to strike this rock. Now, that seems to me like a strange thing to do. There could have been seemingly many other things that God could have instructed Moses to do. There might have been a body of water somewhere close by. There might have been just even slightly under the surface of the earth there, access to some water. God could have seemingly easily brought up water out from some subterranean river or something. But he instructs him to do this strange thing. Take your rod and strike this rock and water will come from it. Why did he do that? Well, one of the reasons is because here once again we find that God, through the experiences of the children of Israel, he is painting a picture and he's telling a story about things beyond their experience in the wilderness. And the striking of that rock, remember what Paul said, the rock that followed them, that rock was Christ. Now, I don't think any of the Israelites realized that at the time. But Paul, looking back and through the influence of the Holy Spirit upon his thinking and the inspiration of the Spirit as he writes, he says the rock that followed them was Christ. The rock that was smitten, in other words, was a symbol of Christ who would be smitten for us. And just as the rock was smitten and water gushed forth to bring life to the people, to save the people, so Christ would be smitten. And as a result of that smiting, the life that God has for us, that eternal life, would gush forth to us as well. It's interesting to me that in regard to the suffering of Jesus, we find the same word used several times over in the Old Testament. The word smite or smitten in Isaiah chapter 50, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them who plucked off the hair. Chapter 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And then the prophet Zechariah declared, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, smite the shepherd. So God says to Moses, take your rod and smite the rock. And then we see these prophecies of the Messiah that he was going to give his back to the smiters. He was going to be considered smitten by God, that there would be that instruction, smite the shepherd. So again, we see the connection here and the beautiful way that the whole story is woven together. This incident out in the wilderness that seemed in some ways a strange way to supply the people with water was actually telling the story about how God would provide life for us in the future. And then the rock bringing forth the water speaks of the gift of Christ. Now, for the Israelites, the water saved their lives, literally. They were in danger of perishing, dying of thirst. Now, it's easy to read the story and to think, you know, those guys were such babies, you know, coming out of Egypt and all that God did for them and passing through the Red Sea. And now look at them. They're crying about everything. But I don't know that had we been among them, we might not be part of that griping crowd. Because after all, they've gone out into the desert. Now, we don't know exactly what time of year it was and what the temperatures were. But in that area there, temperatures can reach in the summertime up to as much as 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I've been, I think, in about 120 degree weather is about the hottest weather I have ever been in. And you know, when it's 120 degrees, you're just looking for relief. You're looking for an air-conditioned hotel room. You're looking for a swimming pool. You're looking for ice cubes to suck on or cold water to pour over your head. You're looking for something to get yourself out of that heat. And so again, you can imagine that if the temperatures were like that, that would have been something that would have been intense. So to some degree, you can understand their concern. Of course, it doesn't excuse their lack of faith because they'd already seen a lot of great things that God had done. They should have trusted him for that. But they're in a desperate situation. And when the Lord pointed Moses to the rock, when he smote it with his rod and the water came forth, it saved the people's lives. But it didn't only save their lives, it refreshed them. And you know how it is, those times when you're working out under the blazing sun and all you can think about is that moment that you're going to get that nice ice cold glass of water, or that moment when you're going to get to, you know, jump into the ocean or, you know, dip in the pool or whatever. And we've all probably had times where we know what it's like to be so hot and just to be dying for that drink and to have that cold cup of water to a weary soul and then to just be so refreshed by that. So they were refreshed by the water. They were satisfied. Their thirst was quenched. And they were happy, and then they continued on their journey. Now, that's what happened with them. But when we look at the parallel and when we look at the picture that's being painted for us, Christ does that very same thing for us. He brings us life, just as the water brought them life. He brings us refreshment. He brings us continual satisfaction. We read that Jesus said this, whoever drinks of this water, he's speaking to the Samaritan woman, you remember, he's pointing to the water in the well there in Sychar. He says, whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So here's that promise that through that work of the Spirit of God, which came as a result of Christ being smitten, that we have received life. And the Lord uses here the analogy of water. Of water that is quenching our thirst, that is satisfying us, that is continually supplying us. The prophet Ezekiel was shown in a vision the conditions that will exist in what we call the millennium, the future kingdom of God. And we read in Ezekiel 47 that a messenger took Ezekiel. He said, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from the threshold, from under the threshold of the temple, flowing east. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Speaking of the Dead Sea there, the waters of the Dead Sea will be healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. Everything will live wherever the river goes. What a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture of something that will literally take place in the future, but it's also a picture of the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit goes, life is the result of that. Now, water is something that we tend to, I think, we pretty much take it for granted, don't we? It's a very common substance. It's relatively inexpensive. Some people have capitalized on our capitalistic system, and they put water in a bottle out of their faucet, and then they turn around and sell it to us for a couple of bucks. But, generally speaking, water is easily obtained. It's common stuff. And so I think that a lot of times we just tend to sort of take those things for granted, don't we? It's amazing. We probably don't think too often about how most people throughout most of human history did not have the ability to walk in their house and turn on a faucet and have water flowing out of it. But this is something that's so common to us. We've been experiencing this all of our lives. We can hardly think of things being any different. Living in England, they haven't quite figured out, as well as we have here, this whole idea of getting water into your house. I mean, of course, they've got faucets and sinks and showers and all of that, but, there's a huge difference between an English shower and an American shower. And one of the big differences is in water pressure and water temperature. American showers have a lot of water pressure and warm temperatures, and English showers have very little water pressure and very low temperatures. So you don't spend a whole lot of time in the shower when you're visiting England or living in England. But again, we take these things for granted. But here's the thing that fascinates me. Things that we take for granted and things that seem to be commonplace. God, of course, knows everything about everything, and he knows that water is probably much more valuable and precious than we even realize. Now, of course, everybody's always known that water is important when it comes to quenching your thirst, but most people did not know until the scientific age the whole reason that life can exist on this planet is because of the presence of liquid water.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you could either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Rock of Our Salvation, and the resource number is OBB511. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Brodersen. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.